up, everyone, and welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-hosts Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. But today, it'll just be Nat and myself. Lawrence is busy doing big man things.
With LeBron, right here.
So for people who can't see, Nat is repping his LeBron Lakers jersey.
The Earn jersey.
The Earn jersey. Yeah. Sorry.
Because they won last year. Remember that? They won last year.
Championship. Yeah, we know they won.
LeBron's fourth one. Let's make sure.
You know, it was rigged. Everybody knows it was rigged.
Whoa.
I mean, it's a heavy topic. All of a sudden, they're out of the playoffs, rigged. And LeBron wants to complain that, you know, the higher ups are trying to sabotage his career.
I mean, an injury ridden playoffs, you know.
But, oh, my goodness.
They want the dollar bills.
Speaking of injuries, I don't know if you heard, but breaking news, actually a couple top stories. The first one is Zach Collins of the Portland Trailblazers has refractured his foot, Zach Collins, which is really sad because Zach Collins is a solid, like, role player for Portland. And
nice trash.
No, bro, I'm telling you.
He has nice suits, though. I see his suits on the bench.
It's got nice suits. When him and Myers were on the, like, you know, playing together, like Zach Collins, because Zach Collins is a big man, but he also has a little bit of range. Like, he was kind of a little bit of a threat. I like Zach Collins. So I felt like this is a huge setback for him to refracture his foot, but this happens with big men all the time. I just don't get it. I don't know how it happened. But the reason I bring this up first is because, you know, with the hiring of Chauncey Billups, it's starting to become more and more apparent that one Damian Lillard is no longer happy being in Portland, and there's talks that he may leave.
Mm-hmm.
He may leave. I've heard some talks about your Lakers. LeBron's kind of pitched, you know, showing, hey, you know, he'd be much appreciated here, showing love to Dame. I've seen some, fan photos, you know, photoshops of Dame in a Heat jersey, which I think would also be interesting, but, you know, what are you going to
get? Probably every jersey. All 30 jerseys.
But you know what? Between your team and my team, I feel like Miami has more assets that they could give up for Damian.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I feel like, you know, but I mean, if he wants to take the easy way to a chip, then yeah, you know, team up with the super team Lakers out there, so.
Super team? Whoa there, buddy. Man. So who do you think? I mean, all right, granted, we're not sure if he's going to leave or not, but if he does want to leave or want to trade, where do you think is the most logical place for him to go?
So he is a West Coast guy, but I think he wants a change of scenery.
Okay, you're predicting that? Okay.
So I feel like he may want to come to, like, you know, the warm sunshine state of sunny Florida, particularly to Miami. The Magic.
Okay.
Yeah, Miami. And you play alongside one Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, form their own big three down there in South Beach.
So that super team you want. Okay.
Yes. That super team is fine.
Wow. Man, look at the irony of these statements.
So it's fine. You know, so it's wow. Perfectly fine. But I will say this, like, you can't consider that a super team because Bam is not at that level yet.
He's still a star on that team, though.
He's still a star, but he's not a superstar. Not like a James Harden, KD, and Kyrie. Like, that's a legitimate super team right there. Like, honestly, you can't even really consider, you know, I'll backtrack here.
Don't say,
like,
Jimmy.
I understand I'm flip-flopping.
Don't say
but I'm not going to say the Lakers are considered a super team because they only have two superstars. You need at least three to be a super team.
Right.
You know what I mean? I feel like Dame could potentially end up in Miami. What about you? What do you think? What are your thoughts?
I don't know. You're right about the Lakers, though. Like, they have no assets. Like, everyone's just saying, oh, Kuzma and a pick, but no one's going to take that for whatever reason. So maybe New York? Because there was some speculation about, like, the Knicks possibly getting a superstar next year. You know, like, it's a nice landing spot for a superstar now that they have emerged from the bottom of the conference.
The depths of the East, yeah.
Exactly. I saw like a graphic on Instagram about like giving maybe like, Toppin, IQ, RJ Barrett maybe, and like a couple picks for Dame Lillard. Maybe. I mean, that kind of sounds interesting, but I don't know. Definitely not like one of the juggernauts, Lakers, Heat, Nets, you know, not one of those. Maybe like a smaller team. Maybe that's Dame's like bread and butter is like the, you know, low market kind of teams. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I think this offseason.
Denver, too. Really, I've heard Denver also. I'm like, with Jokic. I'm like, really?
I can see that. And Denver would have to give up Murray. I've also heard talks of like Philly, mm-hmm. you know, but I feel like Ben Simmons' trade value has kind of come down a little bit there. Yeah. I've heard other trade rumors surrounding Ben Simmons in the sense that, you know, you trade him, swap him for like a CJ McCollum.
Yep.
You know, even if Dame leaves, kind of let Ben have his own team and like fail with his own team. And, you know, the Sixers, they need shooting and they need a point guard. Yeah. You know, but you're going to lose defense on Philly's side. And I've also heard talks that it's going to be very much like a Utah Jazz situation where you're going to have to rely on Embiid to be your defensive anchor, because in some type of trade, you're going to have to give up Simmons and maybe even perhaps Matisse Thybulle. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough. But I think this offseason is going to be really, really interesting. Dame, come to Miami where you belong.
Kawhi, he's better off there.
Well, here's the other interesting thing about Portland is Yusuf Nurkic said that if Dame leaves, he's going to leave.
Yeah, but who wants Nurkic?
That was my first thought.
Who's going to want Nurkic?
Like, my first thought was, like, I feel like every NBA team, including Portland's, like, all right.
I mean, like, sure, he doesn't hold that much value. I mean, he's definitely not a good big, you know, he's decent big, but, like, it's no, like, popular, you know, aura to him anymore.
He is, like, a great value version of Nikola Jokic, except he's more injury-prone. Way more injury-prone.
Can't pass the ball that well, though, as
Jokic. But he did have that ability when he was in Denver. You know, that's why Denver had to make the tough choice of who are they going to give up. And Jokic was younger and had the higher ceiling, so they traded away Nurkic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but like for me, like I don't really think it matters. You know who they give up. Like, especially if Dame leaves, like it's not really gonna matter in the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Speaking of injuries, probably the biggest top story that just dropped, you know, not too long ago, Trae Young, Lawrence's boy, out for game four with a deep bone bruise in his foot.
Man,
like that. Do you think the Hawks have any type of chance? We'll segue into, you know, our main topics now.
Yeah.
Do they have any type of chance of winning tonight?
No. I think it's going to be a Bucks blowout, maybe by 40 points. I'm assuming they're going to start Lou Williams over Trae Young.
I was about to say, you don't believe in Lou? You don't think Lou could pull it off?
No. 40-point
game?
No, because... Oh. Gosh,
you mean Chris Dunn?
40 points? Come on now.
You don't believe in Chris Dunn?
Who's that? I don't know what that is. Anyways, Trae Young, can you believe that this Hawks series is about to go down because of one ref in the way of Trae Young's foot? Like, he was just behind Trae. That you know, just that one piece.
Just standing just there.
Ripple. Yeah, it's going to, you know, to a Bucks win, to a, you know, NBA Finals path, easy path to a Finals. But you know, Trae kind of just is the orchestrator. He's the facilitator of that team. He is their heart and soul, basically. I mean, to me, that I think he's a heart and soul. So not having him there, it's going to have their morale down. It's going to be hard for them to get any energy. I mean, it's probably going to be on the sidelines cheering him on, but on the court, it's going to be tough.
I would say if Bogdanović was playing how he normally plays, because he can facilitate, he can run the offense. But what we've seen thus far, he's clearly off. Something's off there.
Are you saying that tonight's the Bogdanović game?
I think we're due for one. I don't think it'll be tonight, though. I don't think so.
It should be tonight. For, you know, no trade.
It should be tonight. But I don't think it will. I don't think it will. Let's talk about the Hawks and Bucks. I almost said Hawks Giannis series. Let's talk about the Hawks Bucks series thus far.
Mm-hmm.
We saw the Hawks take game one, right? We saw the Bucks take game two.
Mm-hmm.
And game three was somewhat close until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Especially when Trey went down. That's when everything shifted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hawks had a good run in the first and then kind of just plummeted down after Trey's ankle thing.
I was talking to you and Lawrence. I was like, you know, I'm witnessing like greatness right now because Trey was playing bonkers in the first half. They were up like, I think it was like 20-8 or something like that. Like something ridiculous. Trey was like playing really well. Shooting
lights out too, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, coming out of halftime, it just kind of went downhill from there, especially when Trey got injured.
So I have a hot take for you. That game, game three, made me dislike Chris Middleton. in the sense that I think like his amazing fourth quarter was a result of Trey going down. Cause like, yes, he's our closer, but I think he didn't like, if it wasn't for that, he wouldn't have gotten that jolt or that boost to just go flat out, like, you know, ape bleep on them. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Because, you know, Chris is very on and off kind of player. Like, one day he's getting 30 or one day he's getting 11 mm-hmm. points in a game. Mm-hmm. So I think he took advantage of a lowly Hawks team who is clearly upset that their best player is down and just went berserk on them. Like,
yeah, he dropped 20 in the fourth or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that would have happened if Che was healthy and playing in the fourth quarter. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, playing healthy in the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Like I agree with you to the extent that Chris Middleton is not a consistent. Like, he's not going to give you consistent 40 points every night. He's not going to drop 20 in a quarter. Mm-hmm. You know, on a nightly basis. One thing I take away from the previous round is that I don't trust the Bucks. I don't trust them. They're probably right now, especially with Young hurt, with Trey out. They definitely have the advantage. They definitely have the better roster, the healthier roster.
Mm-hmm.
Key phrase is healthier roster, because they're missing, you know, DeAndre Hunter. They're missing Trey. I haven't even seen Cam Reddish. You know what I mean?
He played a little bit in game three.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
But aside from that, like, you know, with the Nets series, there's nobody reliable to me on the Bucks. And I think you make a great point that Chris Middleton only became reliable when the opposing team star goes out of the game. You know what I mean? That's like when he turns it on all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why, like, I'm still really interested in what the Hawks can pull off here without Trey in the lineup. You know, like, do we have a Bogdanovich game? Does, you know, John Collins go off all of a sudden and, you know, start posterizing people? Does, you know, do we get Kevin Herter or do we get Kayvon? Like, you know what I mean? Like, which red velvet we get in tonight? Because I'm not going to lie. Like, I liked his energy in game three, but he seemed scared to me.
Yeah.
That's the vibes I got from it was definitely Kevin.
He was playing great defense, though.
He was. Great
defense. Yeah.
He was. Solid. He's a solid defensive player. You know, I'll give him that. And then on the flip side, where everybody's still waiting for Jrue Holiday to show up. Like, where is this? Yeah. PJ Tucker can't hit anything. You know, your primary scorers are Giannis and Chris Middleton. This is why I don't believe in the Bucks. I don't. Like, yeah. There's no other scoring options outside of those three or four, if you want to consider PJ Tucker a scoring option at this point.
But like, I don't think that matters with Giannis being so dominant in the paint. Like, he's just straight up getting to his you know, right hand in the paint. Like, he's just easily scoring like 30 points every game just because the Hawks can't have an answer for him when they're defending him. So scoring is not really that much of a bad thing because you have Giannis straight up just driving in all the time, you know, just attacking the rim.
I actually want to revisit this about Giannis being dominant. But before we revisit that, is there anything else that you've taken away from this series thus far? Anything else that stood out to you? Anything that's a hot take, if you will?
You want me to say it now? No, no, I won't say it. I won't say it.
You're going to save it?
Yeah, you know, Trae Young. Oh, go ahead.
No, no, you go first.
No, you know, I was just saying it just to troll you guys that one night, but honestly, there is some truth to it, you know?
Oh, my
goodness. I had texted you and Lawrence on the side, you know, during Trae Young's.
Let the people know.
What was it, game two that he went off? Or game?
Yeah.
I think it was game one, game two. Yeah, game two, I think. I said flat out that Trae Young is better than Steph Curry. And, of course, it was a hot take. I texted it to my other friend, too, and he was upset at me as well.
Yes.
But I'm a troll. So. You know, I'm a troll. But there is some truth to it. I think Trae is the better passer, and Trae has a better clutch gene. That's just me. That is just me.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I think you are suffering from what they call recency bias.
Oh, here we go.
Because Curry is not in the playoffs at the moment. Because Trae Young has collectively a better roster around him, especially this year. So I'd be interested to see what happens. And this is something else I wanted to bring up later on, but we can bring it up now. If you know, do you think, for example, like right now the Hawks are a contender. Right now the Bucks are a contender. Right now the Clippers are a contender. Right now the Suns are a contender. Do you think next year any of those four teams I just mentioned are going to be serious contenders?
The Bucks, of course, yeah. I mean, I think if the Hawks keep McMillan as their head coach, I think they have a good chance. Maybe like 5-8 seed next year. Suns and Clippers, they'll be in my top four with the Lakers and the Warriors next year. Hot take right there in the conference.
See, because the reason I asked that question is next season, okay, let's take, for example, the Bucks. You're going to have a healthy Kevin Durant. You're going to have a healthy James Harden. You're going to have a healthy Kyrie. You're going to have a roster that has been through it all. I talked about this all, you know, the past few weeks, past few months, that they have to face adversity. This is their taste of adversity. Same thing happened with Miami in 2011 when they lost to the Mavericks. That was the adversity that they had to endure, the blows that they had to take. And what happened the following year? They win the championship. I said all season long that I did not believe in the Brooklyn Nets. And I got heat from it. I got roasted from it. I got all the backlash from it. And here I am, patting myself on the back because I called it. Why did they lose this year? Mainly because of injury.
Injury.
100%. Not because they faced a more superior team. Not because of this. Not because of that. But because of injury. And one of the things I mentioned prior to the playoffs happening is, number one, I did not trust them. Number two, they hadn't faced adversity. Number three, we don't know if they're going to be healthy. And sure enough, that was their downfall, was lack of availability because of injury.
But you can't lie, though. That series was determined by KD's foot size.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If that was a three, the game's over.
Yeah.
And they win.
I agree.
So, yes, injury, also just bad luck. Yes. Right, go on with your monologue right here. Go ahead.
But now my hot take is I think next year the Brooklyn Nets are going to be favorites. They are going to be the favorites to win it all because they're going to have this bad taste in their mouth all off season. You have these guys who are going to bond over this just like Miami did. Now watch KD really take lead and charge of this team. I know it's always been the big three, the whole nine yards, but watch what happens. Brooklyn Nets are going to be a completely different animal next season.
How about considering that James Harden and KD are going to play in the Olympics this year? How does that factor into their offseason recovery to, you know, their health when they come into the next season? Like, sure, they'll be favorites probably in the playoffs, but like leading up to that before in the regular season, how is that going to fare?
I think they'll be perfectly fine in the sense that they're going to have a good amount of time, at least 2 months of like solid rest. I mean, they're resting right now before the Olympics. You know, the Olympics are still quite a bit, you know, still a bit of a ways away.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have like, what, 4 weeks of like tournament play in the whole nine yards. And then you're going to have the rest of the time to recover and, you know, start of the season is going to go back to regular schedule where you're going to see a lot of load management. And I think Steve Nash is going to play his cards right this time around. Mm-hmm. And rest guys when they need to be rested, give other guys minutes so that you can be ready for the playoffs.
Okay.
Aside from that, you know, I'm interested to see, aside from a healthy Nets coming out of the East, you're going to have a healthy, I know it doesn't look good right now, but they are making moves. They are making changes. You're going to see a healthy Celtics squad. You're going to see a healthier Hawks squad. You're going to see a healthier Hornets squad, a healthier Miami squad, especially with the addition of Dame Lillard.
You said Hornets? What?
Yeah.
Actual contenders? The Hornets? Come on now.
I don't see why not. Not serious contenders. Not serious contenders. But they're going to be a tough out in, you know, the earlier rounds. And then on the flip side, on the West Coast, like I know, you know, you have the Suns right now. You have the Clippers right now. You're going to have a fully healthy Warrior squad. And they have a pretty high draft pick this year. And I think they're going to make some big noise with their draft pick in drafting somebody who's ready to play, you know, ASAP. You're going to have a healthy Lakers squad. And, you know, with LeBron as the GM, you're going to get some type of addition to your team.
And number six, he's going to go off.
Yes, and the jersey number change.
Right.
You're going to have a healthy Denver Nuggets squad.
Okay.
You know.
I mean, no Jeremy Grant. We'll see.
No Mason Plumlee.
Right.
The true MVP of that team.
Right.
So I don't know if the four that we have right now is going to be. I think it's going to be really different next year. I think it's going to be really different.
Isn't that every year though? Like the four that make it to the conference finals in each conference, like, don't do well the next season. Happened with this year with the Nuggets, Celtics, Lakers, and Heat. They're not.
Well, that's mainly because of the short off season and like how crazy the schedule was. You're paying, you know, 72 games in such a short amount of time, all these injuries occurring. But if you look over the last couple of years, it was mainly the same teams. Like how many times did we see Warriors and Cleveland in the finals? You know what I mean? Or like,
true.
How many times, you know, you're talking three of the last 4 years, you saw Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference finals, you know? Okay. So it was almost always like the same, you know, four or five teams, you know, in the East and the West. So I don't know, like, how – I guess my main point is this time next year, I don't think – I highly doubt it's going to be the same four teams that we have now.
Oh, no. Maybe like –
exactly.
Maybe like two of them, but not all four.
Maybe, yes.
Yeah.
That was my main point. So that – I mean, that's just my take, you know, for the whole Bucks-Hawks scenario right now. I still don't believe in the Bucks. I feel like they're really, really thin. Like, their lineup is so thin. And, like, you compare that to the West. Like, I was so confident prior to the playoffs that the winner of this year's NBA Finals is going to be an Eastern Conference team.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the West and the final two teams we have in the West, let's transition over to the West.
Okay.
What do you think about the Western Conference Finals right now?
I think it is more entertaining than the Eastern Conference Finals, personally. Mm-hmm. Because, A, you see the Phoenix Suns, who've been dominant this whole run, and then now they're kind of being punched in the mouth by the Clippers, who don't have Kawhi, Ibaka, or Zubats right now. Like, I think it's just crazy how the Clippers have made it this far. They lose Kawhi. They're down 3-1. They could potentially win the series and have the ultimate, like, redemption arc fulfilled. And then you have Paul George silencing all the haters and doubters that have teased him throughout the entire playoffs last year. So it's crazy to see. Then you have, you know, the Chris Paul, the campaign show, you know, Devin Booker breaking out as a star. Like, it's just a lot more pieces than the Hawks and Bucks. It's more fun to watch. You also have Mike Breen calling the games now, talking about Kawhi Leonard going crazy in the luxury suites. So, I mean, it's more fun to see. It's more fun to watch, you know?
I agree. And to me, I'm still rooting for the Suns. I just don't like the Clippers. It baffles me, the Reggie Jackson games that we've been having of late.
Dude's a star, man. Dude's a star.
I don't understand it. And he truly is. You know, he really is. Like, I feel like over the last few years, like he wanted out of OKC to be to have his own team in Detroit. Probably the worst team you could possibly go to was Detroit. And now here he is. Like he was kind of like, you know, the backseat, you know, passenger to Kawhi and PG, but all of a sudden Kawhi goes out and Reggie Jackson is like the savior. You know, mm-hmm. it's him and Paul George against the world type of thing. And it's just, but what concerns me about their team is still like depth and production. Like you get like spark games here from Terrence Mann.
Yeah.
You Marcus get, Morris. Yeah, Morris. You get the random, like, where did Zubac come from? Like, you know, DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, you have Rajon Rondo. Like, I mean, it's just a good veteran locker room guy to have there.
But I like their bench more than the Suns bench, though. That's a hot take. But I like it a lot better.
I like the Suns bench more. Like, I feel like they're more, like, anybody off the bench could give it to you.
Maybe just campaign.
Campaign, Mikal Bridges, you know, like Cam Johnson.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I feel like none of those guys have really gone off yet. Like I'm still waiting. Like Jay Crowder was the hero for the Valley Oop game. You know, mm-hmm. like that pass was absolutely beautiful.
Yep.
Because I mean, like you're right. The series could actually be tied right now if you don't count the Valley Oop game.
Yeah. I think the Clippers could have won if, granted, Paul George made his free throws in game one and all that stuff. Like, I think Clippers might have had a lead here.
Right.
But they just choked in a few games.
So. Now, my concern on the Suns' end is Booker, to me, what I've seen the last two games from Booker is he's not playing like Booker. Like, I feel like he's trying to force things. He's trying to force the issue. It's almost like ever since, like, people have started comparing him to Kobe, it's like he's trying to go Kobe. And I'm like, you don't have to go Kobe. Like, you have mm-hmm. a good team around you. Utilize that. Play off that. Feed off that.
Yeah.
You know, get some... Like, I feel like there's a lot of times where it's just, like, they're not running things. They're not running set plays. It's just a lot of ISO ball. And you see it with Chris Paul. And Chris Paul, you know, trying to run ISO. And you don't know what condition Chris Paul is in because he's seen it with players who are coming off of having COVID. They don't come back the same. I mean, Jason Tatum was playing garbage until he discovered I have to take an inhaler before every game. And then all of a sudden he's dropping 50, you know, points in mm-hmm. however many games.
I heard an analyst this morning talk about, you know, the Suns. And I'm going to tell you right now, like, it's interesting about Chris Paul. Like, question. So would you mind not having Chris Paul play the rest of the series? Because think about it. They won the first two games without him. With campaign as their main point guard. And you see that with campaign, he pushes the pace. It's a lot faster pace with him on the floor. But mm-hmm. with Chris Paul, you're kind of just like, it slows down because he's more of like a, you know, he's pointing and he's getting things together and he's kind of making sure that everything's like in the right spots, whatever. But campaign just rushes and just runs and just, you know, facilitates at a much quicker pace. So like, and now with Chris Paul back, you lost a few games. You won one by like a huge, I mean, by a thin margin with free throws, you know, and all that stuff at the end. So campaign now has a lesser role and he's not himself really with Chris Paul back. I mean, Chris Paul has helped him, you know, throughout the whole playoffs, but this series, it's like, is Chris Paul really making a difference here?
I still would want Chris Paul on the court because when it matters most, like clutch free throws, like if I need something in the clutch. As great as campaign has been, you know, in the absence of Chris Paul,
mm-hmm.
I would still like to have the reliability and the efficiency of a Chris Paul. Somebody who, in a situation where you need to get a bucket, you need to draw a foul, you need, you know, a steal or whatever the case is, I'd much rather have Chris Paul on the floor mm-hmm. than Cameron Payne. I think it would be interesting if you try to mix things up, maybe have Chris Paul, campaign, and Devin Booker, you know, on the court at the same time. Put, you know, D Book at the three, you know, switch it up a little bit. I know that's a little bit far fetched, but I think it'd be interesting, you know, mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Let Cam, you know, let Payne do his own, you know, do his thing. I mean, props to him, though. The first two games, he was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
You know, his floater is crazy. Just like Trae Young, that floater is beautiful. Beautiful floater.
By the way, I have the Clippers in seven now. I changed it.
Ooh.
Yep. Hot take.
I have the Suns still winning it. I'll say Suns in seven for one main reason, and that is Domin Ayton, DeAndre Ayton.
Okay.
This guy absolutely loves Chris Paul. His career has thrived since Chris Paul has arrived. He has, in my opinion, throughout the course of the playoffs thus far, been the toughest matchup for the opposing team in any round.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, if you recall earlier, you know, talking about the domination of Giannis and that right hand and him going to the basket, you know, and I said, let's revisit that. This is where I want to revisit that. Because if it is a Suns-Bucks finals, I have the Suns favored because of DeAndre Ayton. Because he has the ability to really, really slow down Giannis.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's really emerged as, you know, I hear it on different podcasts where it's like he's everything you want in a center. He has a nice little outside game. He has the post game of, you know, a slightly lesser level than Joel Embiid. He has the defensive agility of, he has better feet than Rudy Gobert. Like he plays mm-hmm. really well off the switch. You know, he could play solid defense. And I would rather have, I just trust in him more than I would Giannis. I don't know what his free throw numbers are, but in you know, crunch time, I'd rather have.
Probably better than Giannis.
Yeah. He certainly has, you know, no air balls, you know, from the free throw line that I've seen this, you know, this postseason. But I feel like that's why I feel like, especially if the Suns can overcome this hump and they can get past the Clippers, who collectively I think are a better team than the Hawks and the Bucks, even without Kawhi.
Ooh.
I think the Suns should be favorite in the finals if they make it to the finals.
The Suns should win.
Clippers.
I think the Suns should win. Like it's their time to win. Like it's all
it's their window
plate for them. Yeah, it's their window. Yes. You know what I'm saying? But sorry, go ahead. What do you say about the Clippers?
No, I agree with you because I mean, think about it. First round, you don't have a healthy AD and you don't have a healthy LeBron. Second mm-hmm. round, you know, you don't have a healthy Jamal Murray. So they freaking destroy the Nuggets. They sweep the Nuggets. Third round, you don't have Kawhi. Like, everything is set up for you to win this year.
And then the East, you have no KD. James Harden
you
and Kyrie.
No KD.
So it's like,
no
this KD. Is your time to shine. This is your this time.
If there's any point in time for Chris Paul to win a chip, it's right now.
Yeah, exactly.
What scares me, what petrifies me, and I think it's also mental for Chris Paul at this point, because he was asked after a game, you're up 3-1. And Chris Paul says, don't talk to me about no 3-1.
Right.
Because how many times has he lost when they're up 3-1? And I think that's mental. And I think you kind of saw that in the last game where I don't think he played particularly well.
Yeah.
And exactly. Like you could chalk it up to COVID or whatever, but I also think there's a mental aspect. So Devin Booker, you got to step up, man.
It's the mask, though. I feel like the mask is holding him back.
He's got to do something.
Playing. Yeah, no.
He's got to figure something out. Campaign, you know, Bridges, Johns, like you guys got to do something. If you want to win it for CP3, you're going to have to step up.
Yeah.
You don't have Kawhi on the court. You're getting beat by Reggie Jackson, Bobby Shmurda. Like, Bobby come Shmurda. On, man.
That's right.
Come on.
Think about it, though. Think about it. Game six is at Clippers at home. Like, that's an advantage for them to win the game. So let's say they do win the game and it's game seven. Like, I'm not sure who to trust more in terms of coaches. Because look at the stat for Ty Lue. I have it here. Tyronn Lue is 10-2 when facing elimination
games.
Yeah. So, like, think about it. Game seven, who do I trust more? Coach Monty, who's awesome. But then Ty Lue, who has a proven track record of, you know, winning in these situations. So it could be, I'm just saying, like, just to be to spike
I
you.
I agree.
I'm saying it's maybe Clippers in seven.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Also, in conjunction with that, who is the only coach in NBA history to come back from a 3-1 deficit in the NBA Finals?
That's right. Ty Lue.
Ty Lue. Ty Lue, man.
Yeah.
And how many times has Chris Paul, on whatever team he's been on, once up 3-1, ended up losing the series?
I've lost count.
But like, you know, Ben Simmons does this a lot where, okay, so Suns were up 3-1. They only need one more game. And that's it. Just one.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Clippers. They have to win the next three in a row. They won one. They have to do it two more times. Suns want to do it once.
Yeah.
I think that's how the Suns have to look at it. You just have to do it one time. Do it for CP3. Do it for Monty Williams. Come on. Do it for James Jones.
Right. But, like, how crazy would it be if the Clippers won after being down 3-1 for all they've been through? And like all the you know crap they've gotten because of that, like it'd be a crazy story. Just so
I mean, even for me, I'll be the first one to apologize because I can't stand the Clippers. I don't like them. Everybody's already talking about, oh, where's Kawhi going to go this offseason? He's going to leave the Clippers. You know, they're going to lose. He's going to go elsewhere. Maybe he's going to go to South Beach because he's a Heat culture guy.
Yeah. My gosh.
That's just my take. But
I know it is. I can tell it's your take.
But, I mean, and imagine, like, because nobody knows what the heck is going on with Kawhi, if he's going to come back, if he's out, like, completely. You know, nobody knows. But how wild would it be if they make it past the Suns, and then in the finals you get Kawhi back?
Oof.
I think in any scenario, I was completely wrong. In any scenario, it's going to be a Western Conference team that's going to win this year. That's my honest opinion.
So you have no faith in the Bucks at all?
Zero.
Like, a slight, like, you know, inch or a slight, like, percentage.
Let's say you get a 40-point game from Chris Middleton and a 40-point game from Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Mm-hmm.
That's 80 points. Who's going to provide you? You have to score at least 110. Who's going to give you another 30?
Bro, Bobby Portis, man. Come on.
Oh, my goodness. Forbes?
Pat Connaughton, bro.
Who? I mean, even on the Hawks side, like, they're not, especially because they're not completely healthy. I mean, personally, I trust the Hawks roster more than I do the Bucks. I honestly do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If Bogdanović plays well tonight, I think they can win this game. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, Kevin Huerter, the whole nine yards. It's just going to be really interesting. It's going to be interesting next couple of games here. And like, I don't know about you, but I really truly hope for a Suns and whoever else finals. That's
Suns Bucks would be great though.
Great, yeah, it would be
great TV. Yeah.
Great matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Great matchup. CP3 versus Drew Paul versus, Drew Paul.
Drew Holiday.
You got,
Booker and Middleton.
D-Book versus Middleton. Ayton versus Giannis.
Tuck and Crowder.
yeah, that's true. Or better yet, put Crowder on Giannis. Crowder gave Giannis a hard time last season.
That's when a good point.
For Miami.
That's a good point. Yeah,
I think that'll be interesting. let's kind of switch gears here. Let's move into some hot takes. You know, okay, to kind of wrap the show up. This kind of coincides with top stories, but you mentioned earlier the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Olympic squad. For people who don't know, this is who's on the roster. You have Bam Adebayo, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, KD, Jeremy Grant, Draymond Green, Drew Holiday, Zach LaVine, Damian Lillard, Kevin Love, Chris Middleton, and Jason Tatum. What do you think about this Olympic roster?
My first thought, and I'm sure it's yours too, was like, where are the centers? Like pure centers. I feel like it's a small lineup all around. I think your tallest guy is KD, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, it's funny. Like, I guess like playing small is like the vibe nowadays because it's a lot more agile and a lot better to like adapt, I guess. But man, like, you kind of seen the disappearance of centers nowadays. Even the Clippers too in their past game played small because, you know, but I mean, in terms of like just pure talent on their roster, it's stacked. Are they winning gold? I think so. I hope so. With KD, Tatum on there. I mean, you got five decent scorers on there. And then Draymond Green, Bam, and Kevin Love anchoring the defense. I think it's a pretty good squad.
Let me ask you this, because you mentioned centers. Who's the center that comes to mind that you would want on this roster?
To be honest, I'm not sure because of all like the nationalities of all the players. I'm not sure who's like an actual like American center.
Throw some names out. I could help you with that.
All right, go ahead.
Well, one of the ones I've been hearing about is DeAndre Ayton.
I thought it's for Nigeria or I forget where.
He's from the Bahamas.
Okay,
but he migrated here to the United States and is a U.S. citizen. He is a U.S. citizen. They would just have to be some type of documentation saying that he's going to play for the U.S. I would change him out for Kevin Love or Jeremy Grant. Like, I don't know how either of those. Bill Simmons mentioned it. Like, how did these two get on the roster? Yeah. Like, who in the right mind was like, yeah, you know, I want Jeremy Grant and Kevin Love. Like, what are they going to contribute to this team, man? They're not going to do anything. Yeah. The other thing, because you mentioned lack of centers, I was like, what about the lack of point guard?
Who's their point guard? Oh, maybe James. No, probably James Harden.
The starting Your point two guard. Point guards, you have Damian Lillard, solid.
Oh, damn.
Right, and you have Drew Holiday.
That's not bad.
You need somebody who can, like, run. Because Drew Holiday, technically, is not, like, a true, true point guard. He's one of those who's a tweener, in-betweener. You know, point guard, shooting guard. I'll mention this because Bill Simmons mentioned it on his podcast. Trae Young.
Ooh. I mean, not anymore. He's injured. Let's see how that goes.
True.
If he's out for the season or not.
I'm trying to think, like, what other... I like obviously like major, major players had to have turned it down. Like Steph Curry probably had to have turned it down. You know, I'm trying to think like what other American point guards are there that you could have put out there to take out Kevin Love and Jeremy Grant?
Answer this. So is that team winning gold? I think the lack of star power is like throwing us off. But
yeah,
I think it's a decent team though, all around.
Because I mean like look like I've grown up watching. I know the heartbreak of the 2004 Olympics when they won bronze, and they had Allen Iverson and Dwayne Wade on the roster. And then you have the redeem team of 2008 with Kobe, LeBron, Wade, Melo. Like that roster was nasty.
Yeah.
And then the 2012 team, you had like KD, you had like Kobe, you had LeBron, you had like all these major stars.
Yeah.
This one, like you said, is a little bit lackluster. I mean, you still have KD, who I think in any given game, he can go off. So I trust.
Dame as well.
I trust. Jason Tatum, I'm sure there's going to be a couple of Jason Tatum games there.
Yeah.
Bam is just going to have to play big. Like, he's going to have to play bigger than what he's used to. Like, He wasn't on the 2019 roster, and he felt some type of way about that.
Mm-hmm.
So my hope is that he comes back and he truly dominates in the paint. But you're talking about you're playing against, you know, foreign players who have been playing together for decades, big men who are true big men, and you're going to have to find a way to slow them down, to stop them, guys that can shoot outside, guys that can post up, guys that have passing ability, like – that's why, I don't know, it's going to be tough at the center position. I think you can get by with the point guard position. I think the mentality is, oh, KD can run the offense. D-Book can run the offense. You can run the offense through Beal, Dame, Drew, Zach. Like, any of these guys can bring the ball up. But I think the lack of size should be somewhat concerning.
I'd even feel happy at the five for some of these games.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I would feel, you know, I wouldn't even mind having Dwight Howard on the team again, but I know like that's not going to happen. That's definitely not going to happen. But yeah, like I can't think of any other like American born, like US born.
Right. Like who are the snubs? I don't know who the snubs are or who are the ones that turned it down. Got no idea.
Yeah. We don't know who turned them down. Again, some names that were floated around were Trae Young. There was somebody else that was questioned. I can't recall who it was off the top of my head. I'm having a hard time remembering. I know Trae Young was definitely one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I don't know, man. Because foreign players, they're pretty scary. Like, you're talking about like a Spain team that's played together for decades, or a Serbian team.
Look at Team Canada. You got Barrett, Dylan Brooks. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's who they were saying was Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks is a potential snub for Team USA. Nah, is he Canadian?
Canadian. He is Canadian. Yeah.
Huh.
That's why.
So Bill Simmons was incorrect on that one.
You saw KD's tweet. It was so funny. Like, some guy said, like, why isn't Dylan Brooks on the team? He's like your stopper on the team. He's like, oh, you mean Canadian Dylan Brooks?
I love KD, man.
Oh, man.
I love KD.
Oh, Zion. Zion's
I feel American, like he would have turned it down. Yeah, he's American. I think he would have turned it down. He's not healthy.
Not healthy enough? Okay.
I think he's trying to, like, build his stock so that he can force his way out of New Orleans. That's my theory.
That's a whole other mess.
That's my theory. Okay, so yes or no? Team USA winning gold?
I'm going to say yes.
I say yes. Mainly because KD's there. I trust KD. Okay, so let's do a lightning round hot take.
Okay.
I just want to get your opinion on this because the House of Highlights had like these polls going on today. I thought they were really interesting. And I figured we'd do this, you know, kind of a fun way to end the show. So, first question. Pick one to shoot a free throw to win $100,000. Giannis Antetokounmpo, mm-hmm. Ben Simmons, or yourself. Who do you pick?
Giannis. I'm serious. Dude,
I said myself.
Giannis takes his time, man. With no free throw violation. He'll just take his time, build up that confidence, and then just...
An air ball? For this one, I said myself.
I'm terrible at free throws, so I can't even do it myself. I'm honest, I'm terrible at free throws, so I'm going
to... Like, I know I'm a solid, you know, 75 to 80% free throw shooter, and that's a hell of a lot better than Giannis and Ben Simmons, so... I chose myself for that one.
Not taking Ben at all. Nope.
No, yeah. Okay, here's the next one. Pick one to shoot a three to win $250,000. Dame Lillard, your best friend, or Trae Young?
Dame, you kidding me? That's a no-brainer right there. Who'd you pick?
I picked Dame also.
Okay.
Yeah, I picked Dame.
Did we not see his game against the Nuggets that one time? Just making threes at the end of the fourth quarter in overtime? Like,
yep,
just
yep.
Like shit up, like just practice shots up
all
like,
day.
Damn. Exactly.
All day.
Exactly.
Okay. How about this one? Pick one to make a game winner in a pickup game for $10 million.
Damn. He's so prices you need going up and up and up.
Want this player to hit the game winner, KD, Devin Booker, or yourself.
These are all easy ones, man. I'm going KD all
yeah,
the way.
Yes, KD also. That's a KD also. Okay, how about this one? Pick one to stop Steph Curry on one play for
anybody.
$500,000.
Anybody. Anybody.
That's disrespectful,
myself.
Man.
Myself.
Oh my easy. Gosh. That's easy so money. Disrespectful. Steph Curry?
What? Easy money.
Okay, so here are your two choices. Realistically, Drew Holiday or Jimmy Butler? Who are you going to pick?
Jimmy. Jimmy's just like that guy. Like, he's just stronger too. I think taller as well, right?
Yeah. I said Jimmy also. 31%.
Sorry. I skipped the question. Is the question Steph Curry at the end of a game or is it just any stop?
I would assume like game on the line. You need one stop.
Bro, himself. Himself will stop himself, bro.
Oh my gosh.
Steph Curry will stop himself.
That's not one of the choices. Play the game. You and I both had Jimmy. Just so you know, 31% of the voters said Drew, 69% said Jimmy.
Okay.
Just real quick recap before we continue. For the free throw one, a lot of the voters had between Ben Simmons and like themselves, which baffled me.
What?
I would have said, 100% myself. This one also baffled me. The one about, you know, shoot a three to win 250, to win $250,000. It was like in between Dame and your best friend. I was like, that's wild.
It's probably
yeah, everybody said KD for the, you know, game on the line type of thing. Okay, how about this one? pick one to make a layup in traffic for $1 million. One of these players has to make a layup in traffic for $1 million. Mm-hmm. Russ okay. or Kyrie?
Kyrie.
Man, I said no Kyrie. Right there. 30% of the population or voters said...
population?
30% of the voters said Russ. 70 said Kyrie. I thought that should have been a little bit higher.
Yeah.
I think that definitely should have been a little bit higher. No
contest.
I agree. And I think that would be the absolute last one. Before we conclude, is there anything you want to add to... take away from shout out?
Nothing at all. I'm looking forward to seeing the Bucks and the Clippers in the finals this year.
Oh my goodness.
That's all I gotta say.
Well, let me add some truth here because that was just straight blasphemy. You know, a lot of people know that I'm starting to like, I haven't always been a huge fan of the WNBA. I will gladly admit that. My love for the WNBA has grown over the last couple seasons, and I just think what they do. Like I know a lot of the players, especially when they were coming out of college. Like I would follow certain players, not necessarily teams, but this one right here was probably one of my all-time favorite basketball players, male or female. And that's Diana Taurasi.
Mm.
Talking about goats, she is the goat of goats. She's the first WNBA player in history to score 9,000 points. Goat. 9,000 points. Shout out to Diana Taurasi of the Phoenix Mercury. Man, it was just, I love to see it. And, you know, let me just throw this in there too. I watched a couple highlights from certain games. They're so fun to watch. Like these WNBA, they're so fun to watch. I saw one where somebody hit a game winner over Breonna Stewart.
I forgot her name. I did see that.
Something Gray. I feel so bad. I can't recall her first name, but her last name is Gray. She hit a Hezzy crossover. Breonna Stewart got lost and then hit the game winner with like 10 seconds left. I was like, yo. That was wild. Oh, man. That was awesome to see. It's just like real basketball, like where it's team oriented. You know what I mean? I love to see it. I'm a little bit sad because my New York Liberty are not doing as well. But I still have faith in them. Let's go, Sabrina. Sabrina, we trust. But with that, we'll catch up again probably at the end of the week. Lawrence will probably be with us. We'll recap the last few games here before the NBA Finals. But until then, everybody stay safe, stay healthy. Catch you guys next time.
This has been a Fuse Podcast original produced by yours truly, Nat, with music by Johnny C.